be able to ask you to turn your Bible to one specific verse this morning, but we can't do that. We will be sort of be all over the place this morning. But if the last words of the last song are the last thing that you remember today, today was a success. Singing about a king who is risen. But there's something about last words. Like, I could ask, like, Jimmy Valvano's final speech. Some of you could repeat the end of it. Don't give up. Never give up. There's just something about last words. So I want to see how cultured we are this morning as a body of believers and see if how well we can come up with some famous, maybe not so famous quotes and who said them. So the first one is, for the past 2 weeks you have been reading about a bad break. Yet today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. Who said this? Lou Gehrig, right? And on July 4th, 1939. How about this one? This one's a little bit tougher, I think. I resigned from the highest office in the land to become president of the United States. I stumped 400 people. James A. Garfield said this because he was stepping down as an elder in his local church to step into the office of presidency. I think that's cool. That's just about the only medicine a fellow could ever really need. Anybody, anybody? Any Western fans? John Wayne at the Academy Awards in April of 1979. Just a few months later, he would pass away from stomach cancer. After a prolonged ovation, he said these words. A few more. I have reached the pinnacle. I have nothing left to prove. Michael Jordan, first retirement. you'll catch up here in a second. I have lost the drive to desire, or the drive and desire necessary to play at a high level, but whatever happens, my heart, my soul, my love will always be in the city of Chicago. Michael Jordan, right? Retirement number two. I love you all very much. I wish in all honesty that things don't have to come to an end, but they do. Michael Jordan, third and final retirement. How about Tetelestai? It is finished. We've sung it this morning. We've said it this morning. We prayed it this morning. Jesus' words thousands of years ago. During his lead up to Calvary, to his crucifixion, to his cross, Jesus had some remarkable last words for those who were journeying with him. Some words of wisdom, some words of comfort, sometimes some words of mystery and confusion. And he said, and you can just read through the book of John and you can get all of these. One of you will betray me. What you're about to do, Judas, do quickly. In John 14, he says, you will do greater things because I am going to the Father. Still one of the most audacious statements that Jesus made to his disciples. You're going to do greater things than I did. John 16, it's better that I go because then the helper, the counselor, the Holy Spirit can come. And no longer God beside you, but God in you. John 16, through 24, he's talking and he says sort of a Pauline tongue twister. He says, a little while and you will see me no longer, but then in a little while then you will see me again. I think you can just imagine Peter's wheels just a-turning and a-turning. What is he talking about? John 16, 33, he promises you that you will have suffering, but be courageous because I have overcome the world. And in John 19, 30 in Greek, Tetelestai, it is finished. It is complete. It is done. But those were only Jesus' last words from the cross, from Calvary. They weren't his last words because 3 days after being placed in a tomb, he would walk out. And in John chapter 20, the first words that we have after the resurrection, the first word we had was, Mary. A quiet whisper, just the beginning of a 40-day victory parade. On Palm Sunday, last Sunday, we celebrated and we talked about the most anticipated parade ever when Jesus walks through the streets of Jerusalem and the crowd flocks to him. On Good Friday, we talked about the loneliest parade ever that Jesus walked from Jerusalem to Calvary's Hill. And today, we celebrate the victory parade. It was a parade that was talked about in the Old Testament. It wasn't anything that should have come by surprise, and because Psalm 16 tells us that God will not allow his faithful one to see decay. Isaiah 53 says that God will prolong his days. And Hosea 6:2 gets very specific. On the third day, he will raise him up so we can live in his presence. Even Daniel 12:2 talks generally, but also specifically, about those who may sleep in the dust will again awake. This 40-day parade that starts with Mary and then a collection of other ladies who had followed him around, and then to the Apostle Peter, who you remember just a few days earlier said, "I don't know that guy." And now three times Jesus says, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, we know one of them's name is Cleopas. We don't know the other one. We used to kiddingly say that it was Hugh Buzzard. But now we won't know until we get to heaven if it was Cleopas and Hugh. But on that road to Emmaus, and then we see him interact with 10 apostles. Judas is gone. Thomas is off doing something else. So he meets with 10 apostles, and 8 days later, he meets with 11 apostles with Judas now present and shows him the scar on his side. Then we see him meeting with 500 disciples all at once. What a church service that would be, huh? Then we see him meet with James, one-on-one. Not James the less, not the apostle. James, Jesus' kid brother, who in the past thought big brother was off his rocker for saying the things and doing the things he was doing. Can you imagine hearing Jesus say your name after you've just seen him crucified, placed in a tomb? He might jump just a little bit. And then he appears to all the apostles shortly before his ascension in Acts chapter 1, and then on the Mount of Olives, a place they had been through a couple days before as Jesus ascends back into heaven. And then that miraculous appearance and visit with Saul the persecutor on the road to Damascus. 40 days of this growing number of people joining the victory parade of Jesus, the risen King. But it's not just about 40 days. As we've already begun to see in the book of Acts, that we have seen the church start from this small number of people start to grow and grow and grow. And anywhere that Peter goes, anywhere that Paul goes, anywhere that Philip goes, we have more and more people coming and placing their faith in the risen Savior. In the midst of opposition, in the face of evil, guided by the Holy Spirit, the church, in the best way possible, is exploding onto the scene. It's leaving Jerusalem, and it's going up into Turkey, and it's going down into North Africa, and it's going over into Greece and into Europe. The gospel is expanding and exploding. And wherever these churches go, they started very quickly to do something very special. They would sit down, and their worship services typically had a meal involved in it, because they would get together and they wouldn't want to leave. So they would quite frequently share a full meal together. But just as Jesus did at the Passover, what we call the Last Supper, so the early church became accustomed to doing, wrapping their time up together after they had feasted physically on food, to feast spiritually on a meal that Jesus shared with them. So most often this was done in a house church, not a setting like this, but in a more intimate setting around a table where with friends and family and other brothers and sisters in your town or in your city would gather together to celebrate what we now call communion or the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist. And they would take that piece of bread and that sip of juice, the body represented by the bread, the body that was broken to make our lives whole. And the blood that was shed to establish a new covenant of grace and forgiveness. And life restored because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. So for the next several minutes, we're going to celebrate communion. And even though we are in a big room, we're going to celebrate it in a small setting. So up front, in front of the tech booth, and in this back corner, there are four stations with a small piece of bread and a small cup of juice. And if you're the first person to arrive, just kindly move that napkin and place that lid off. Come with your family. Come with those who are worshiping with you and celebrate communion together. And if we could just sort of try to do it evenly, now that would be great. So when the Spirit moves you, maybe you need to say a prayer of thanksgiving. Maybe you need to say a prayer of, God, I'm sorry. Make my heart right. But when your family is ready, come to one of the stations and share communion together and then return to your seat, because we still have a lot of praising to do. Father God, thank you for this time where we can stop, pause, and celebrate the cross of Jesus Christ. That the gruesomeness, the cruelty of Friday is over. The silence and the uncertainty of Saturday is done, and Sunday has arrived. So today we can take this small piece of bread and this small sip of juice in celebration for what your crucifixion and your death provides for us. As you rose again, you enable us to live again forever in the presence of our Father. God, thank you for this time, and help us with clean hearts to be able to share this meal together. As the Spirit moves you, as Becky and Mike lead us a little bit, we encourage you to come to one of the four stations to celebrate communion.
the blood nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was nothing but the blood nothing but the blood nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was nothing but the blood nothing but the blood nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was nothing but the blood nothing but the blood. You deliver, you set free, you say, and redeem, you change everything, you say, and redeem, you deliver, you set free, you say, and redeem, you change everything. Christ, wash over me, wash over me. The sin has stained me, blood of Christ, come speak for me, my covering, it is your glory.
Missed anybody? Would you raise your hand so we can make sure that everybody was able to celebrate? If you're still holding a piece of bread and a cup, go ahead at this time and partake in that body that was broken for you as you remember the cross of Calvary. And as you take that sip of juice, remembering that it was his precious blood spilled for us, shed for us, for the forgiveness of sins, do in remembrance of him. Father God, what an amazing privilege and blessing it is to be able to celebrate communion in the local church. And God, we pray that every time that we have the opportunity to partake, that it drives us back to both the cruelty and the beauty of Jesus' cross. God, we thank you for the powerful love that was on display. God, we pray that every day, not just on a Sunday, not just on an Easter Sunday, not just when we're able to celebrate together, but every day, the memory, the knowledge of what Jesus endured for us propels us to continue what Jesus started. Father God, thank you for this brief moment to focus on the cross. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We can't even call it a 40-day parade or a 30-year parade, as the book of Acts is what the book of Acts covers, but it's really a 2,000-year parade. And it's up to you and I to continue lining the streets and shouting Hosanna and lifting up hands of and serving and praise of a risen King. You see, Jesus' final words, at least is what we have in Scripture, comes at the very end of the book of Revelation, where simply it is, I am coming soon. He has promised us that while he is in heaven right now preparing a place for us, that he's coming again to take his bride, that's you and that's me, that's the church, home. But until then, church, remember these words. Go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember I am with you always to the end of the age. Beyond Europe, beyond North Africa, beyond Turkey, beyond Asia, the gospel spread on the lives and the deaths of faithfully obedient followers of Jesus Christ. And it's our goal, it's our role, it's our responsibility to continue taking that message out, remembering, right, that we don't have a high priest, we don't have a king who is unable to sympathize with us, because our King, our Savior, was tempted in every way just as we are, but excelled, was successful in not sinning. And 1 Peter chapter 21 tells us that Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He didn't commit sin because he knew we were going to. So he became the final sacrifice for us. God made him who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. John in Romans tells us that all we have to do, that is, if we confess Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved. Becky already said it, and Mike's already prayed it. But today, if you do not have a relationship with the risen Savior, what an amazing cap on an amazing Easter celebration for you to place your faith in Jesus Christ. So we're going to end in a sort of a different way today. This is the last you're going to hear from me. Amens, no, not appropriate right now. Right? But this is, we're not done, because we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate for just a little bit longer. And however you need to respond, wherever you need to respond, we encourage you to do that. The water's still warm. The baptistry is still full. If you have been considering baptism, we can get you at least a dry Summit t-shirt to go home in, right? Right? We have plenty of towels. What an amazing Easter that would be. And maybe you've never surrendered to Jesus, and maybe you need to do that right now. Maybe you need to do some rededication, and God, I've wandered away and I need to come back. Maybe you just need to stand where you are and dance a little bit as we celebrate. We will have prayers ready to meet you and pray with you. We'd be more than happy to make the waters ripple again with baptism. However you need to respond, please do so as we celebrate for the next several minutes together.